to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards. Two girls for every boy, the perfect Valentine's Day song, I guess you could say. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. It's Saturday night, February 14th, and sadly enough, I can remember a year ago today. It wasn't a weekend. I don't remember exactly what day it was. It was during the week last year, Valentine's Day was, but I was right here in this very same studio. How about that? And if you are tuned in live tonight, what is the matter with you? What are you doing at home on Valentine's Day night, Saturday night, listening to talk radio? Well, I'm a glutton for the calls, too. I'm actually here working, so I can't hardly say anything. And then, again, to be fair, the powers that be that are deconstructing the American experiment and turning this country into a third world morass, they certainly don't take a night off. They don't take Valentine's Day off. I was just watching TV before I came to the studio tonight, and it's just still as full of propaganda and harmful messages as ever. So I guess if they can't take Valentine's Day off, we shouldn't either. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy that you're here with me. Maybe a good Valentine's Day date night. Tune in by the fire and listening to the political cesspool. Nevertheless, whether you're single or married, dating, in love or not, welcome to the show. I was out last week. I was not here, but man, didn't my kids do a good job. Bill Rowland and Winston Smith always keeping the embers stoked. And those rare occasions when I am not able to be with you, I think that was just the second time I've missed a broadcast since we've joined RBN back in September. I was out of town on family business, but again, great to be back with you tonight. And as fate would have it, you know, I'm 28 years old, and I have a cute young wife, and yet here I am the only one working tonight. Bill is out, Winston's out, the old goats who are way past their prime are at home with their wives tonight. And the young buck is here in the studio. There's just not a lot of justice in this world. Not a lot of justice in this world at all. But we're going to have a good show for you tonight. We're going to have a really good show for you tonight. A lot to talk about. Believe me, you know, since I've had last week off, I have got plenty stored up for you tonight on this special Valentine's Day edition of the Political Cesspool. I'm going to get it started right after our first commercial break when we bring on our first and only guest of the evening, a man making his debut appearance on this program. He's never before been a guest on the cesspool. We're about to cure that. Andy Nowicki. If you haven't heard of him, you're going to like his style. I certainly do. He's a writer for The Last Ditch, a great website. If you hadn't heard about it, we're going to be talking more about it right after these words from our sponsors. Again, sit tight, buckle up, hold on tight, ladies and gentlemen, as we take you through another adventure in the political cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages. You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The K-Titan Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Again, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards, getting the show kicked off tonight with a bang as I welcome our first guest and only guest again for the evening, Andy Nowicki, who is, like a lot of our listeners, a pessimist. He is an unabashed Catholic, reactionary, and a writer. He teaches college-level English for fun and for profit. He obtained his education, such as it was, from Emory University, right there in Atlanta, and from the University of Dallas. He has been a regular contributor to one of my favorite websites, the online anarcho-libertarian, culturally reactionary, poisonously thought criminalistic site, The Last Ditch, since 2003, where he has expanded on many subjects, from the perils of multiculturalism to the culture of death to the spiritual decline and accompanying demographic suicide of the West. Andy Nowicki is the author of an upcoming novel, Considering Suicide, which will be available in May and can be pre-ordered now on Amazon.com from Nine Banded Books, a radical and gutsy publishing house in Charleston, West Virginia. Mr. Nowicki, great to have you with us tonight the holiday, as it were.
Yes, well, thank you for having me and this Valentine's Day, and it's a very intimate gathering, just you and me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I want to talk to you about a few different things. I always like having writers on here because, as a writer, you're well-versed in a lot of issues and a lot of varying topics, whereas some of these other folks who have signature issues are only on to talk about certain issues, and I like to kind of run the gambit. But I wanted to talk to you first about a movie and your take on some of the reaction from this movie. What was the double standard in the resentment over Mel Gibson's film? And is that standard strong today? Particularly, will they ever forgive Gibson for making Apocalypto, a movie that portrayed American Indians realistically?
By the way, some people might call that dilettantism, where you write about everything and anything and everything. But
well, we talk about anything and everything, and you write about it. So it's a good one-two punch.
The question about is about Gibson, Mel Gibson, and his of course, The Passion of the Christ, and the double standard that I was referring to, which is in my article. This is actually the, I think, the second article that I ever wrote for The Last Ditch. Concerns the double standard concerns the fact that some activist groups, Abe Foxman and others, talked about how they thought that the movie portrayed Jews in a negative light, and that it might foster violence, anti-Semitic violence. But you know, the question is where were they when, you know, all these other movies that had been made up to that point, and I list a few. Mississippi Burning comes to mind.
Oh, God.
Not very positive in its portrayal of Southern whites, let's say. Where was Mr. Foxman and others when, you know, were they saying, you know, what was the reaction to that movie, and you know, why didn't they say, you know, that this might foster violence against Southern white people, for example, or Schindler's List? You know, was that going to... That obviously doesn't portray Germans in a very positive light. So, is that going to cause people to want to take violent action against Germans? I mean, it seemed like it was a double standard.
Well, it's only a sin, of course, as you know. The doctrines of political correctness are, you know, wrought with double standards and hypocrisies. It's okay to offend whites. You just can't offend the so-called minorities.
Yes. Yes. Well. That was the double standard, and as far as how it applies to Apocalypto, I thought was a fascinating movie in a lot of ways. A point that I make about Apocalypto, and actually a different article, because that was about a year, I think maybe a year and a half later that movie was released, and I think it was after Mel's run-in with the cops and all the fallout from that. But what was interesting about Apocalypto is it was kind of the Dances with Wolves motif of the noble savages versus the ignoble civilized people. Except in what was interesting about Gibson's movie is that the red man was both the good guy and the bad guy in that movie. So it took sort of a neutral portrayal of the conquistadors when they came. They come at the end, and it's just sort of left ambiguous what's going to be done, or, you know, where things are going to fall out from there. So I don't know. He kind of broke from the fold in some ways, but the hero was also a red man. So again, it wasn't the simple white man bad. Other than white man, everybody other than white man, good scenario. But no, I don't think that. But your question is, will they ever forgive him?
Yeah, pretty much. Will they ever forgive him? First, for Passion of the Christ, and I did kind of lump both of those questions in together, and I appreciate you breaking them down for me. First, for the Passion, and then secondly for Apocalypto.
Yeah.
Not to mention the rant, which was pretty spot on.
Yeah. I don't. I doubt it. But he actually strikes me as somebody who doesn't really care whether they forgive.
Yeah, you know,
or not.
And that's what was so surprising to me when he got down on his knees and started the whole knee jerk groveling routine after the fact. And you know, everything I've ever heard about him, from the rumors that he was a strong Buchanan supporter to the fact that his dad seems to have quite a bit of knowledge on some of the more taboo issues, it would stand to reason that Mel Gibson, probably in his heart of hearts, it has a pretty sound ideology. And then, you know, so, and then he comes up with these movies, which reinforces that. I can remember vividly seeing Passion of the Christ. I was very much excited about it, not just because it was going to take a hard stand.
It was quite an event.
Yeah, and then, of course, all the Jews were getting upset about it. And I can remember seeing it in Orlando, of all places, at City Walk. And then, of course, Apocalypto was good, the powerful scene when you see the Spanish ships coming in at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Great
mm-hmm.
stuff. But then, you know, he had to go in and do all the groveling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to get him forgiveness, of course, but I just hated to see that. But I wonder where he goes from here.
Well, he hasn't been very active for the last – he's been kind of out of the picture lately. So.
I don't guess he has to be, considering the paycheck he got for Passion, but
still,
you'd like to see a guy producing good work. One of the few figures in Hollywood that are producing something of substance continue to do that, and I just don't know where he goes from here.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, I'm a movie buff as it is, and it's always interesting to have somebody on that can talk about movies because I just screw up.
I've written a couple of I've written on many occasions about movies as you probably know.
It's just of course, and it's just one of those things I guess that harkens back to my childhood. I always liked movies growing up, and even after I became politically inclined, I still just like the guilty pleasure of watching movies at the theater, so I kind of follow them, and then when it's applicable to infuse politics into the commentary, it's always fun. One more movie question, then we'll move on.
Sure.
What was politically incorrect about M. Night Shyamalan's film The Village? And why do you think critics could not get their heads around why it was politically incorrect? And if they knew what politically incorrect, do you think they would have criticized him?
Right, well, It's very, very interesting, and I almost don't know, you know, with the M. Night Shyamalan movies, there's always the twist, and I don't even know, I'm not sure whether it's okay or not to give it away, but I'll do the best I can.
It's not like it's a new release, so if people haven't seen The Village by now,
that's true.
It might not be.
Everybody who knows, everybody who cares probably already knows. What was interesting to me, and it was released in the same year as The Passion of the Christ, but I think it actually exceeded The Passion in some ways in its daringness, its political incorrectness, but it was done in a much more subtle way. The premise of the movie is there's a group of people who have decided to get away from modern society and to live as if they were living in the past, in a village out in the middle of nowhere, and to even talk like they're, you know, to use the inflections of old English and other sorts of things. And Shyamalan portrays them rather sympathetically, which in itself is kind of interesting. But if you read between the lines a little bit, there's something even more daring going on, because all of the villagers are white, and one of the reasons that's given for why they want to escape the modern world is crime, and it's talked about how they were lived in urban centers, and a lot of them were victims of crime, or they knew people who were, and so, like I said, if you read between the lines, and it's a positive. It's a nuanced portrayal of them. It's not, you know, completely positive. There are some aspects of their life, some aspects of what goes on there that, you know, is up for questioning. But generally speaking, I think Shyamalan is on their side, and, you know, thinks that they're doing something, generally speaking, that's to be admired.
Well, you're exactly right, and you know every movie has these subliminal messages, and of course I don't even think if you go into to watch that movie that's what you're looking for, but it's something there that, again, you read between the lines, you see these things, every movie has it, and it's always so rewarding and I guess enriching when you see on the rare occasions a movie that has some sort of a subtle message that speaks, you know.
Did you get that impression as well when you saw
it? Oh, absolutely. That's why I wanted to bring it up today. And, of course, I know you've written about it. But I'll tell you what, we'll pick it up on the other side. We got to go to a break. I want to pick it up with a short segment concluding those thoughts, and then I want to move on to a couple other things with you. Set tight, everybody. James Edwards and Andy Nowicki back with you on The Political Cesspool when we return right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Thank you. Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. Submarine Service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
Welcome back to the show. Tonight's installment of Political Cesspool goes to the theater. James Edwards and Andy Nowicki here. Andy, before we move on to topics that aren't related to the cinema, I just wanted to recap. It is Valentine's Day, of course, so if you're listening in on the West Coast tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and you want to have a movie date night, we wholeheartedly recommend Passion of the Christ, Apocalypto, and The Village. Although Apocalypto, in some regards, could be construed as a love story, I guess. So maybe that's the one.
I think The Village would be a great date movie.
You think so?
Yeah, it's got the love story between...
That's true.
Between, I can't remember their names right now, but the two... The blind girl and the guy who she's trying to save.
Yeah, Apocalypto might be a little too gory for a date night. I just was remembering the film, but yeah, of course. Now those two, Apocalypto and Passion of the Christ, got panned pretty hard by the critics, as great as they were, for the politically incorrect messages. Now The Village, though, not so much, because I guess maybe they just couldn't see it.
Yeah, it's very subtle. And another thing that might have pulled the wool over their eyes is. The director, M. Night Shyamalan, of course, is non-white.
Right.
And, you know, yet he seems to be, he's making this movie where he seems to be sympathetic to this group of people, this group of predominantly white people who want to go off and live by themselves, you know, this group that could be seen as white separatists.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess it might be a little bit of cognitive dissonance for some critics. They, you know, they just think it couldn't possibly have this kind of message because look at the director, you know, look at what he looks like. I don't know. Just an
and then of course, idea. You know, just 6 degrees of separation. Of course, Shyamalan cast Mel Gibson in Signs. So maybe
right.
Mel rubbed off on him. Maybe they had some talks, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. A movie was also made about this, and I am trying to get off movies, but I just enjoy the topic so much.
That's
and
fine.
It's a holiday.
Great.
So what is the dangerous agnosticism regarding Emily Rose and the Cultural Commissars?
Okay. The movie is The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I believe was 2006 release.
That's right.
The movie is about and it's based on some real events. It's about a girl who died after a failed exorcism, and I believe the priest who conducted the exorcism was brought to trial and charged with negligence or something like that. And so it uses that real life event. And, you know, it's a fictional account of it. The dangerous agnosticism that I'm referring to, that I refer to in my article, is the fact that the way that the movie is structured, it's not just that materialistic explanations are the only possible explanation for what happened. In other words, the idea that this was actually a case of demon possession is given its due in the movie, so there's the dangerous agnosticism is, I guess, you know, generally speaking, the powers that be are the members of the secular left, let's just say, tend to see any expression of spiritual belief that it ought to be shoved to the margins, and, you know, it's okay if you believe it, that's fine if it works for you, but it has nothing to do with reality. Whereas in this movie, the movie very interestingly shows that, makes a compelling case for the possibility that this was actually a case of a demonic possession, and that the priest, you know, did everything he could to save her, but that, you know, this was not necessarily a case of a girl who just had mental problems or any other strictly chemical or physical explanation, but there maybe was a spiritual explanation for it. So it was agnostic in the sense that it didn't really take a stand one way or the other, you know,
right,
in a definite sort of way, but it at least gave the spiritual explanation a chance to be discussed or to be considered as the explanation for what happened.
So, and from our point of view, could have been better, but could have been worse.
Well, and even so, a lot of critics, you know, really I shouldn't say a lot, but there were a few who really took umbrage with it for being so open, you know, for being so, you know, and these are liberals, of course, who always talk about how open they are.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're open to everything and tolerant of everything except for our ideas. The marketplace of diversity has no room for conservative ideas.
Which is the perennial hypocrisy of liberalism.
And it never ends. Mm-hmm. But this segment's got to end, unfortunately, Andy. We got to go to another break, and then we are going to change the line of thought when we come back. But I tell you, I've really enjoyed our discussion of films. We got to do more of that. Sit tight, everybody. I'm back with Andy Nowicki right after this.
Here we come, walk down the street, we get funniest looks.
Don't go away, there's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Continuing on this Valentine's evening, James Edwards with our guest for the night, Andy Nowicki. If you like the show, everybody, don't forget to check out our website, www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. Of course, as you may know, Mr. Nowicki, we've been around for a few years, and we get called all sorts of bad names, including the term hate radio. Now, I think you've written about this. What do you think of the term hate radio and the way the left-wingers use it particularly?
Well, I tell you, I think it's used by the left in a generally disingenuous way, because the left tends to characterize anyone to the right of them as hateful. I'm not big on the term hate radio. However, I find that sometimes when I listen to talk radio, certain talk radio shows, Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Hannity, and others, there is an aspect of their routine that I think could be termed hateful.
Well, Hannity is utterly offensive to me, and I will tell you this, and I've said this to a lot of the guests that we have on this show. I've been lucky enough to befriend many of, and any time Hannity's name is invoked, and you just invoke the magic word, it elicits some sort of a primal reaction within me. I can't stand that guy.
Yeah, I don't understand his appeal at all. I understand.
Obnoxious. He's obnoxious.
And doesn't seem to really bring much to the table, to use that cliche. I mean, somebody like Limbaugh, he's witty. He's quick-witted. He does, you know, shtick and stuff like that. But Hannity doesn't really seem to have much of anything, and his appeal is really beyond me. Maybe he's just sort of the guy next door kind of thing.
I don't even get that. You know, O'Reilly's abrasive too, but I can stomach him a lot more. I don't know what it is about Hannity that just really. I guess it's the fact that he's masquerading as some sort of a conservative when he's anything but. He's about as conservative as a potted plant, but.
He's a GOP sycophant.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that is what he does. Basically. I mean, God knows he gets those press releases at Fox every day from the GOP, and he just reads them verbatim. But speaking of Hannity, though, and you can actually see, I think, in him, and not to pick on him, I mean, not to say that he's more offensive than the, you know, Janine Garofalos of the world, of the radio world, or the Al Frankens, but... can you tell us a little bit more? Do you have any more information about the mugging of Mark Weber, a friend of mine, that took place by Hannity and David Horowitz?
Yes. Well, I wrote about this on the Last Ditch, and Mark Weber was on. Mark Weber, who's the head of the IHR, which I can't. That what does that acronym stand for?
Institute for Historical Review.
Right. Correct. For some reason, he was on the Sean Hannity show one day, and I was listening in, and I was just appalled.
Now, how long ago was this?
This was maybe it was a couple of years ago.
Okay, I was going to say, because if it had been any time recent, and Mark hadn't told me about it, I was going to have to give him a call. So, okay, it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago, and I don't remember the event. Maybe it was could it have been in some way related to Ron Paul? Maybe they were trying to, Hannity was trying to slime Ron Paul as a racist and an anti-Semite or something. But I don't know. It might have been before that even. I don't remember the exact circumstance. But anyway, he was on and just basically was never allowed to get a word in. Hannity and his even more loathsome friend, Mark Levin, just sort of tag teamed, and it was brutal. I mean, it really, and I should say I'm not someone, you know, I'm not a Holocaust revisionist or whatever you want to call it, a denier, whatever. But I do think that you have somebody on, you should give them a hearing and, you know, be reasonable, and let them speak. And you know, if you disagree with something that they say, you should offer a rebuttal and then let them respond to your rebuttal. Just sort of, you know, the civilized way of discourse. And there was absolutely nothing of the kind. I don't remember the exact details right now, but the name of my anybody who's interested, the name of my article on the event is "The Mugging of Mark Weber," and it was. It was truly loathsome. It was truly disgusting.
Well, and that's their MO, you know, particularly with Hannity. That's how they treat any of the guests with whom he disagrees, but particularly a guy like Mark, who is razor sharp. I tell you, if they had let Mark get a word in, he would have made mincemeat of him. Because you know, I just don't see Hannity as being overly bright or witty. But I obviously must have missed that episode. I don't know what the subject were, but I could guarantee you if Weber was on, he was probably going to be. You know, an expert on whatever they were going to be talking about. So it was best for them that they not let him talk. But again, getting back, and that's not even the point. The point is, you know, when you talk about hate radio, you know, what is it? Is it shows like this where we try to present things in a professional and an enlightened manner? Is it programs like that, you know, that are so-called mainstream where, I mean, they just drip venom.
There's another thing that appalls me, I should say, you know, being a Catholic, I am, of course, opposed to the culture of death and against abortion, but another aspect of of Catholic belief is just war, which is that you don't during wartime you don't declare a war for reasons that are that aren't justified, and then when you go to war, you go to war in a way that doesn't target civilians. But again and again, if you listen to Hannity and Limbaugh and Neil Bortz and O'Reilly and others, when they talk about war, talk about Iraqi civilians dying or something like that, there's this incredibly calloused way of talking about it that who cares how many of them die? It's our soldiers are the only ones that really really matter. And you hear it repeated again and again, and to the point where it's mainstream. And I guess what appalls me about it is these are people who are ostensibly pro-life. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a bleeding heart here, but I tend to think that killing innocent human life is killing innocent human life, whether it's a baby in the womb or whether it's women and children in Iraq or Afghanistan or falling under the bombs that were dropped by the Allies on Dresden, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. So there's this aspect of the militaristic right, the pro-war on terror, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. You know, cultural Marxism has made it such where hypocrisy no longer only occupies the left. I mean, you certainly see it even within the churches today.
Yeah.
To a great extent, people are compromising their convictions and becoming, just as easily susceptible to doublespeak as the left. And
yeah.
That's something we've got to break out of. But certainly, I mean, a lot of these Republican voters out there really aren't doing the country any better service than the radical left.
Yeah, I know. I didn't vote in the last election, and I'm not ashamed of that.
Well, I did. I've still never voted for anyone who's won, so I guess that's about as good as not voting.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this, because we're starting to drift over into this direction anyway.
Yeah.
You authored an article, Don't Mess with Muhammad. If you don't mind, tell us about that article and the lessons you wish Americans to take from it.
Well, it's I invite anybody to check it out if who wants to read it, and I'll try to summarize it as best I can right now. The article is about this was when the controversy with the Mohammed cartoons was going on in Denmark.
Right.
There was some paper that printed cartoon pictures of Mohammed, and there was widespread violence. From some sectors of the Muslim world who thought it was blasphemous or sacrilegious, and of course the I don't remember all the details, but I think the editors of the paper caved in and didn't print the pictures. Is that am I remembering?
Oh yeah, no, you're exactly right. Or maybe they did print them and there was hell to pay. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I do remember covering that story on this program for a couple of installments. But I tell you what, the last thing Europeans are more afraid of offending Muslims than
yeah.
anything. I mean, that is the last thing they want to do, they think, is offend a Muslim. And that is the number one cardinal sin over there right now.
Yeah. And this
apparently.
Is the same people who don't think twice about offending Christians. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know.
Oh, well, of course, London's, they're running around with buses in London saying there is no God, just live your life and things
yeah.
like that. So.
And exhibits like the Virgin Mary smeared with elephant dung and
right. I mean all that stuff, all that stuff. And then when the Muslims turn around and burn down half of France, they go out and ask them if they can help
right.
them find some more napalm. So
right. The other side of that though, and I do talk about the liberal hypocrisy or the tendency on the part of the left to appease Muslims while at the same or to appease the other, the exotic other, the non-Westerner, whether it's Muslim or somebody else. While at the same time they're as insulting as can be to the religion of the West, the Christians. But at the same time, there's also the aspect of the story which is there's something to be said for the Muslim world for the fact that they do have a reverence for what they consider holy. And that was when I talk about the name of the article, "Don't Mess with Muhammad." You know, to them, this was really crossing a line, and they made it known that they weren't going to take it. And I'm not suggesting that we riot or commit violence or do anything like that, but I do see something to be admired in a culture, a society that hasn't totally gone.
No, I mean, no one could disagree with you in that. And then whereas we, on the other hand, as European Americans or Europeans in general, our new religion, the new state religion here, is political correctness. So as much as they revere whatever it is they believe in, what we worship and what we will fight for is the right to be diversified and to commit cultural suicide.
Absolutely. So I mean, I guess there's two sides of the coin, and sometimes I try to be nuanced and say, there's this to be taken from this story, which is why do the Muslims get away with it and Christians never would get away with it. But on the other hand, there's something to be admired in the Muslims for having this kind of for having a reaction where they they actually have reverence for something otherworldly, something greater than themselves. Whereas here, we've gotten so secularized that
Most issues and most subjects are like that. I mean, it's not just black and white. Mm-hmm. It's I was a guest on another radio program earlier today, and we were talking about the tactics of the left, how difficult it would have been for the Marxists who were educated and trained at the Frankfurt School to come over here and completely in the 40s and 50s completely subvert the American experiment and American culture. And then, how daunting of a task would it have been for them back then to accomplish everything that they've done with their long march through the institutions. And now here we are 70 years later, 50, 60 years later, and, the revolution has almost been completed. And so, I think, yes, we don't want to be like them, but sometimes perhaps we should mimic some of their tactics. And I think that's in a roundabout way, that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
One more thing, and then we've got to go to another break, and then I want to finish things up with you. Another article you authored, they tell us we're in Black History Month. I know Confederate History Month is coming up in April, and we always celebrate that on this program, being based in Memphis. So you authored an article called "Why Not Secession?" Can you tell us a little bit more about that, and why do you think the prospects for secession, what do you think they'll be as we have a greater depression, as Lou Rockwell has termed it?
Well, it's very interesting. I wrote that article on the eve of the 2004 election. And it was at a time when it was looking like it was gearing up to be another really irritating, post-election squabble over the spoils. And similar to 2000, of course, it turned out not to be that, but... But in anticipation of that, grim anticipation of that eventuality, I just thought of the whole idea of secession, and the fact that what's often been talked about, the red state and the blue state, the Gulf, I mean, between the typical red state mentality and the typical blue state mentality. When it's often talked about like we've got two separate nations, within the same borders. What would be wrong with secession? One side or the other just deciding to opt out of this arrangement. Why should we be one nation indivisible? And the article, that I wrote just reflects on that whole idea, especially in light of the election and the light that it's shown on the red state, blue state divide. And after I wrote it, after the election happened, it got tons of people, people Googled, I guess, secession a lot. And so that article came up, and it was even referred to in the Washington Times. So it was a hot topic after that election, because I guess there were a lot of people from the blue states who weren't happy about, you know, how things had turned out and were thinking about the whole notion of secession.
I think about it a lot. more and more as time goes on. I just don't know how we're going to make it happen. It's more of a romantic notion now, I guess, than a more easily theorized and practiced, I guess. But listen, Andy, we're going to take one more break here, and I want to give our listeners an opportunity to find out how to read more of your work, because this has been an absolutely riveting interview. And we're going to come back after the break and get some contact information for you before we let you enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day. So if you don't mind, sit tight. We will return, everybody, right after this. You're listening to The Political Cesspool on RBN.
The mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Let's return to The Political Cesspool.
All right, coming full circle now as we finish our hour with Andy Nowicki. And Andy, I got to tell you, anytime we have a guest on for the first time, you never really know what to expect. But I want to tell you, and in front of the entire listening audience, that you have far exceeded expectations. And I'm really glad to have had you on the program tonight. But we're getting some emails. Now, we have been getting emails all program, but one particular, a listener, Dwayne, writes in, and he actually hits on a point that I meant to infuse when we were talking about movies earlier, and it slipped my mind in the praise of Mel Gibson. Yes, I do think Mel Gibson shares a lot of our viewpoints. And I support Mel Gibson in the movies that he has directed. Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto. But this listener opines that he disagrees with us about Mel Gibson, and he goes on to ask if we remember the Lethal Weapon movies back in the 80s, all the evil white South Africans were the ruthless racists and were the enemy that had to be destroyed. Of course, he's talking about Lethal Weapon 2 there, and even in Lethal Weapon 1, which is a good action movie if you just leave all the propaganda out of it. But, of course, you got Danny Glover as the righteous black family man, and all of the drug dealers are blonde-haired, blue-eyed, like Gary Busey. So certainly those movies, which Mel Gibson was in earlier near his career, are the typical Hollywood propaganda films. But those, not to be confused with the movies that Mel Gibson would later go on to produce and direct. So there is, I think, a difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's been in a lot of movies, and I it's been years since I've seen, I don't know if I ever saw Lethal Weapon 2. I think I maybe saw the first one, but I wasn't a big into the series. I know he's been in tons of other things, you know, romantic comedies, and most of them pretty mainstream, didn't really, you know, make too much of a splash. It seemed like most of the controversy came later.
Of course, you know, when you're an actor just getting started back as he was in the 80s, I mean, you take
the line a little bit.
Not to excuse him or anything, but yeah, the Lethal Weapon movies had bad bad messages, I guess. You know, it reinforced the politically correct stereotypes. But nevertheless, you know, Dwayne brings up a good point. The movies he starred in didn't always have good messages, whereas the movies he directed, which is the ones we were focusing on, certainly do have messages that resonate with our way of thinking. But anyway, Andy, I wanted to give you the opportunity here before we close out this first hour to give us your contact information where folks can get in touch with you and read more of your work.
Okay, well, I write with The Last Ditch, which you could just Google or go to a search engine, type in The Last Ditch, and you'd find it. But the exact web address is Thornwalker, T-H-O-R-N, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R, .com/ditch. And it's run by a man that goes under the pseudonym of Strakhan, who I have to give props to on the air here for giving me space to write on his thought criminalistic site. So I've got that. I've got my own blog, which I haven't written much in a while.
Hold that thought, Andy. I apologize. We got to go to a break. Hold that thought. We're going to let you conclude the contact info right after this. Just sit tight, my friend.
Don't go away. Hour number two of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Valentine's Day night, Saturday, February 14th, 2009. We head into the second of 3 hours tonight. Of course, you can catch the Political Cesspool radio program every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight right here on RBN, coming to you live from our flagship studio, AM 1380 WLRN Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, where I sit tonight. And you can check us out on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to open up the phone lines now, 1-800-313-9443. So those floodgates are open now. Give us a call and we'll get to you. But before we do, want to give our guest for the night, Andy Nowicki, a chance to complete his contact info. You mentioned thornwalker.com/ditch.
That's right. That's the site of the Last Ditch, where I write, and which is run by Strachan and a lot of talented people right there. My blog is www.andynowicki.blogspot.com, and my last name is Nowicki. And the book that I'm coming out with is available for pre-order on Amazon right now. It's called Considering Suicide, and it's going to be published by a house out of Charleston, West Virginia, called Nine Banded Books. And they can be accessed by just typing in Nine Banded Books, NINEBandedBooks.com. And the publisher, his name is the man who runs the publishing company, his name is Chip Smith. He has a very interesting blog site of his own called The Hoover Hog, which has contained some writing I think a lot of your listeners would enjoy as well.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of websites for you to visit. We hope that you check them all out and pay your respects to Andy Nowicki. Andy, we look forward to having you back on this show sooner rather than later. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day evening, and I'll see you at the movies.
All right. I hope I've been sufficiently romantic.
Absolutely.
Great.
See you later, my friend.
All right. Bye.
All right. What a great guest. Still got 2 hours of the program tonight, so as I said, and I'm winging it alone tonight, so keep me company here on Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen. Please, don't make me spend Valentine's Day alone in this studio. I don't have Bill Rowland here. I don't have Winston Smith. I did go to a wedding today, though, with my wife, which is, of course, my wife's great, but weddings are always boring. So we had to do that, which I guess is a Valentine's Day festivity, and then we exchanged a couple of gifts when we got back home. I was flipping through the TV stations before I came to the studio tonight, and I noticed that the NBA, the National Basketball Association — I was a basketball player in high school, so I still follow basketball a little bit, and anyway, the NBA is having their All-Star Weekend this weekend, and tonight is the three-point shootout and the slam dunk contest and all that, and it's taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. And I just came across, it just kind of triggered a memory as I was seeing the festivities there taking place in Phoenix tonight. 366 kidnappings a year in Phoenix. That's one town. That's one town. And the stats say that there are 366, I should say, documented or official, quote-unquote, kidnappings in Phoenix, all by Mexicans, of course, and almost always related to drug smuggling. And that's just the ones, again, that get reported, ladies and gentlemen. Cops in Phoenix estimate that the real total is at least three times that amount, so upwards of 1,000 kidnappings in Phoenix, where the All-Star break is this weekend. Do you remember when this country was a white country? Thank God for diversity and multiculturalism. We'll be back right after this. Take your calls.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, as I said just a moment ago, for the rest of the show tonight, all the way up until midnight, the lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. Give us a call. The way it's going to work here, boys and girls, for the rest of the show is I've got a lot to talk about, okay? I always do, but I wasn't here last week. My boys were taking over, Winston and Bill, and they did a good job. If you missed last week's show, go back and check it in the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But anyway, nevertheless, I've got a lot to talk to you about. It's vast and varied. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit to some stories that have caught my attention over the course of the past few days. So anytime I'm hitting on something that you want to talk about, give me a call, 1-800-313-9443. We're going to go to the phones real quick right now. Mike in Maryland. Mike, are you there?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. It's a really good show and a great guest you had there. I can't know if she was still on because I wanted to pose a question, but maybe you and the other listeners could chew the fat on. But first, if I may, I'm a movie buff myself. I might want to make a couple comments about a couple of movies you talked about earlier.
Sure.
And the first one is Apocalypto. I thought it was a visually stunning film, and it seemed to be historically accurate, at least in the representation of the people and of their, you know, culture. But it was disappointing to me because, I could be wrong, but the movie seemed to plagiarize another movie that came out in the mid-60s, which the core story of which was almost identical. It starred Cornel Wilde, and it was called The Naked Prey. And
yes,
the protagonist's exploits were almost identical to what happened to Cornel Wilde in Africa, a white European who was captured by this African tribe and let loose, and they hunted him for sport.
You know, that is a great movie. Now, that was before my time, but I had it recommended so many times that I'd dig deep and find it. And you might be onto something there. I never did really draw that connection until now. You just mentioned them both in the same sentence, but I could see some parallels there.
Now, sometimes people or writers do have similar thoughts, but to me, it seemed to be plagiarism to me, but it was an interesting movie. The second one is The Village. And it's one of those movies that I never saw when it came out the theaters, and I kind of kicked myself in the rear end a little bit for not seeing it because it seemed kind of interesting. But then it came on TV, and I've probably seen 90% of it in 5 or 10 minute installments when I'm usually listening to talk radio and I got the TV on. But to me, The Village, I didn't necessarily see the racial component to it, but to me, I thought The Village was kind of like a metaphor for modern day life where the powers that be of the New World Order, whatever term, euphemism you want to use, basically keep the people in a state of subservience by manufacturing quote unquote demons either covertly through their own superstitions or overtly through false flag terror events like 9/11, but basically use their own fears to keep them on a sort of reservation where they have the power, so to speak, and the technology, and we are kept in like in a, you know, a second world, even a third world status through our own fears. But so that's the comments about the movies. But the question, the major question I have is, I'm a member of the 9/11 Truth Group in the D.C. area, and DC911truth.org, and I'm virtually the only paleo conservative in the group.
Huh.
And I get into this running argument with this one guy who's a liberal and he's a writer and a very intelligent guy. But at any rate, I posted, you know, how there's 20 states now that aren't succeeding, but they're definitely making secessionist kind of like motions.
I don't mean to interrupt you there, but
no, that's fine.
No, this was brought to my attention, and no one would ever be aware of this if it wasn't for shows like this and networks such as RBN. You just would never catch wind of it in the mainstream media. But I believe the count has it now. I was just talking with Eddie Miller, one of the staff members here on this program. 31, and I'm not just talking about, you know, citizen movements within certain states. If we're talking about the same thing right now.
Yeah, actual governments.
Now, actual legislatures of 31, sure. I believe it's up to 31 different states now, 20 to 30 states are moving towards secession. Now, it's not always from a Confederate or a paleoconservative point of view. I mean, you could get people in Washington that wanted to, Washington State that wanted to secede because, you know, they're not smoking enough, you know, marijuana. But whatever the case may be, there are different and varied secessionist movements afoot within the local state legislatures in a couple of dozen states right now. Yet,
yeah,
you never knew, would know that, but that's the honest, that's a fact.
Yeah, and also too, I have about 10 or 12 websites to go to get my news. I can't always remember exactly where I saw it. It might have been on InfoWars or What Really Happened, or it could have been on News with Views. I'm not sure. But I think there, are six or seven states now that are, making motions or considering divesting themselves from the dollar and going toward the constitutionally based gold and silver, because obviously nobody in the right mind with the spendthrift socialist Democrats are in power, and of course the Republicans aren't any better with these horrendous expenditures going to the government. The dollar is going to be worthless in the not too distant future. But my main question though is, and I don't want to take up too much time because I'm sure a great show like yours got a lot of people lined up to on a landing strip to call in, is that this one person I was talking to, he says that the secessionist movements are funded by billionaire foundations and other traitorous organizations in the hopes to create a genuine civil war or a genuine secessionist movement, because it would much be easier for the New World Order or the international banksters or the Zionists or who, you know, fill in the blank. It would make it much easier for them to control this country and to divide us into different countries and pick us off one by one, kind of like, you know, how the British funded the South in the Civil War, because it would be much easier for the London bankers to control and dominate this country. What do you think about that supposition that that the powers that be or whatever are funding or at least facilitating this secessionist movement?
Well, I haven't seen any evidence to that effect. I mean, certainly with whatever.
You never know what goes on.
Well, no, I mean, no, it's a typical play that they do fund both sides of the coin so that no matter who wins, they win, or no matter who wins, we lose. Right now, I don't think there's any secessionist movement far enough along that would warrant any of their investments, you know, and there's certainly no secessionist movement to the right of center that is getting any funding whatsoever, because I would certainly know about that. I mean, we're living off the land. All of the constitutionalist and pro-white entities out there are certainly living off the land and scratching out an existence. And so, you know, as far as billionaire money being pumped in, no, I haven't seen any of that. But thank you for the call, Mike, and thank you for making some good points. I got to move on now to some other things here. But again, the phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443 this evening in the political cesspool. Apparently, the diversity and equality thought police, their reach can go quite high. Not only do they have access to commoners like me and you, it goes all the way up to Prince Harry. Did you read? And this was sent in to me by a political cesspool listener earlier in the week, and I got to thank him for informing me of this. The prince is going to have to report to equality training. And I'm not making that up or being overly sensational or dramatic. That's what they're calling it in the British press. Prince Harry, and I'm reading directly from a newspaper in London, Prince Harry is to be sent to an army equality course after being heard on a video using offensive language to describe a Pakistani army colleague. And here's the scoop. Prince Harry faced a disciplinary hearing with his commanding officer after a video diary filmed 3 years ago was made public last week by a Sunday newspaper. In the commentary, Harry called a platoon member, quote, our little packy friend, and he called another one a quote-unquote raghead. Clarence House said the prince apologized and that the matter was closed, but he is still going to what they call equality boot camp, I guess, if you want to use the Army terms. Of course, now, in the British Royal Army, all recruits, everyone, whether they make a politically incorrect defense or not, all of them undergo initial diversity training upon recruitment, but commanding officers have ordered more for Harry. He has to undertake further instruction following this incident. So there you have it. Not only are people like me and you, ladies and gentlemen, susceptible to having to go into these Orwellian thought camps, even so do royalty. Prince Harry in there with us, in the pillory with us. Can you believe that? I did a double take. I thought this story was a parody when I first read it. I mean, God. but no, royalty, I have to believe in the false gods of cultural Marxism and political correctness, just like the rest of us. So at least there is, I guess, a little bit of equality there. As ironic as that may be. A lot more to talk about tonight. Got to go to another break, but we want you to call in. We're going to be talking about some really, really salacious and juicy issues as the political cesspool rolls on tonight on Valentine's Day. Give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. James Edwards, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Here's Dr. Ka. Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Did you boogie with your baby in the back row of the movie show? And did you boogie there because you had nowhere else that you could go?
And now let's return to the political cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show tonight, everybody. Got a little surprise for you coming up late in the third hour, so you're going to stay tuned all the way through to the end of tonight's program to get that. But anyway, back into the headlines of the day, what's going on around the world, around the country. Again, in blogged under the category of diversity is our greatest strength at our official blog on our website. It's the taste of equality. Did you know that cow urine, a soft drink that tastes like cow urine, is going to debut in India? Don't you wish you lived there? So, you know, does your Pepsi lack pep? Is your Coke not the real thing? India's Hindu nationalist movement apparently has the answer, a new drink, as I just mentioned, made from cow urine. The bovine bew is in the final stages of development by the Cow Protection Department there in India. Prakash, the head of the department, said the drink, which translates literally into cow water, I'm not making this up, in Sanskrit, was undergoing laboratory tests and would be launched very soon, maybe by the end of this year. Don't worry, he said. It's not going to smell like urine, and it'll be tasty, too. It's It's going to be very healthy, he says, and it won't be like carbonated drinks, and it would, of course, be devoid of any toxins. It'll be just the thing to wash down a nice big cow pie, which, of course, they eat over there, too. And as you know, Hindus in India revere cows, and slaughtering them is illegal. Cow dung is traditionally used as a fuel and a disinfectant in villages, while cow urine are often consumed in rituals to purify those on the bottom rungs of the Hindu caste system. Well, anyway, maybe that, you know, that's the kind of diversity. We need more diversity like that over here, I think. What about you? While we're on the matter of food, Domino's Pizza in the UK is removing pork from the menu in order to please Muslims. So you can't get no more sausage pizza if you live in England. All of these stories, by the way, if you want to delve into them, I couldn't imagine you wanting to get any more information than that. I just delivered to you about the cow urine episode in India. But if you want to read more, research more, we're well documented. A lot of references, a lot of links to each of these stories in our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But nevertheless, Domino's Pizza in the United Kingdom, no more pork there. The Muslims didn't like it. If you live in Birmingham, England, and you want to order an old-fashioned, you can't even order pepperoni pizza anymore. You're going to have trouble finding pepperoni pizzas in England now. A Domino's pizzeria has removed all pork products from its menu and now serves only a special sort of meat in order to please the local Muslims. White citizens are complaining, although if a local restaurant decided to go kosher, I'm pretty sure there wouldn't be much of a brouhaha from those white citizens. So, there you have that. What else is going on? Did you hear that? I told you we're going to be jumping around all over the place. Batwoman is now a lesbian. Batwoman is, you didn't know that, did you? You learn something every time you tune into the Political Cesspool. Even on Valentine's Day, we're still going to give you the kind of stuff you need to know and the kind of stuff you wish you didn't know. But hell, if we weren't talking about it, nobody would be. Batwoman's a lesbian now. Jews just love promoting the homosexual agenda to our kids. Last month, Stan Lee, who was, of course, born Stanley Lieber, announced that he and Marvel Comics will be bringing out the world's first gay superhero. Not to be outdone, a writer for Detective Comics announced that he's bringing the Batwoman character back, but this time as a lesbian, which he says is no more meaningful than her being a redhead. And I read now from the article where I got this information from. Batwoman is making her comic book comeback as a red-haired, crime-fighting lesbian. Billed as a lesbian socialite by night and a crime fighter by later in the night, she replaces the Caped Crusader after he was killed off in a recent issue. I didn't know he was dead. I'm learning something now. Batwoman, the alter ego of Kathy Kane, is clad in a figure-hugging black outfit and knee-high red stiletto boots. She is Detective Comics' first openly gay superhero and will stalk the mean streets of Gotham City from June onward. Writer Greg Rucka said the introduction of the gay character was long overdue. We've been waiting to unlock her, he told a comic book resources website. Yes, she's a lesbian. It's an element of her character. If people are going to have problems with that, it's their issue. It's certainly not mine. And, of course, it wouldn't be Greg Rucka's issue because he doesn't have a problem with lesbians and homosexual and cultural subversions and perversions because he is a Jew. We got to go to break. We're going to take some calls right after this. Batwoman, a lesbian. How about that? The Political Cesspool continues in a moment.
There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Sunset Strip.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host at the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I am your host, James Edwards, and I am taking your calls right now, 1-800-313-9443. We're live, as always, this time on Saturday nights, and let's go to Mike in Kentucky.
Hey.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
In keeping with your bumper music there, I will not be filed, stamped, briefed, debriefed, or numbered.
Me either.
I forgot the connection there. He just died a couple of weeks ago, but they played somewhere. It might have been USA Network, I think. I don't have cable, but somebody was watching cable the other day, and they had Braveheart on, and
another good movie by Mel Gibson. Let's not forget that. And The Patriot.
I'm talking about the guy that played the prisoner that passed away. He played Longshanks, and I had not made that connection until the other day when I saw that on cable. You remember Longshanks?
Yeah, I didn't know he died.
The guy that played the prisoner, I just forgot his name. I had it right there in my head, and then it's gone.
I'll have to go to the Internet Movie Database.
Patrick McNee. He's the other spy show. Anyway, the reason I called in, you guys were talking about, and you're just now kind of getting back around to the subject there with the subject of offending Muslims, you know, and the pizza that is kind of being banned because of that. And people should probably be more offended that you can't get real pepperoni, because pepperoni is supposed to be made from goat. You know, the original pepperoni was a goat sausage or meat. And so they make all this food is like, it's like out of George Orwell's 1984 or whatever, where it looks like meat, tastes like meat, but I don't think there's any meat in it, you know. Soy protein isolate, genuine imitation, you know, pork substitute pepperoni.
Yep.
So it's kind of weird that, you know, I'm a few miles outside of Cincinnati here, well, a couple hours, I guess, by car, but they got this company that makes all these meats. Sounds really Jewish, you know, Kahn's, K-A-H, in it. Nothing they make is kosher.
It's, well, maybe it's
for the goy.
So it's all good meat. It's not kosher meat. Well, maybe they just have a Jewish sounding name. You know, sometimes the Germans can fool you.
I know. It's just kind of ironic. It's one of those ironic things. You know,
well, the fact remains that they wouldn't be in business in England anymore.
Cincinnati was pretty much built on pigs, you know.
Well,
the first concrete road in Kentucky, from what I've read, was built because they wanted to be able to ship all the pigs up to the river to get them down to Cincinnati to make into pork fat, you know, and soap and lard and everything. So it was the first concrete road in Kentucky.
I see now.
Maysville Road, I think.
Here we go. Now I'm learning stuff. This is a great relationship we have here. We try to educate the listeners, and then the listeners call in and educate me. I learned something about Cincinnati tonight. Now, Cincinnati does have a large German population, or it was a German. Was it Cincinnati that was the German city?
There's German neighborhoods, yes.
Okay.
But there's a lot of Muslims in southern Ohio, and I talked with a guy a while back who was a bag man for the FBI. He actually took the money. And I almost wonder, because I know some of his other stories, you know, he's got a lot of stories. But he was the, I think he ran numbers when he was younger for the bookies up there.
Yeah.
And later on, he probably got, you know, Randy Weaver'd sort of. They caught him in this, you know, in this seedy side of stuff and said, all right, you're going to work for us. So he was a bag man for the southern sector, half of Ohio, in the early 60s. And I forget how many of these places that he took the money to for the informants. He told me it was dozens of them. But they've been watching the Muslims in this country for a long, long time. And they had informants way back then inside the Muslim communities throughout all of the mosques in southern Ohio around Cincinnati way back then.
Well,
and so they've been watching these guys for a long time.
Well, tell him to keep one eye on them and go tell him to try to find those Martin Luther King tapes and see if he can get them to me.
You know, the reason I really called in though was last hour you guys were talking about that very sensationalized picture of the it was supposed to be a black, I think, depiction of Mary, and they had elephant dung around the picture. And the really offensive thing about that artwork was that it was supported and funded and put on display by the National Endowment for the Arts.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Government grant money.
Government-sanctioned perversity. Well, that's art, though. Now,
the thing about that is that was that depicted in that art, you know, and the art itself was not as offensive as people are making it out, because if you follow the history of the Catholic Church, and I wanted to try to call in while that guy was talking about it, they would, when they wanted to conquer a culture, they tried to incorporate their rituals and their religious practices in with their festivals and stuff. And this art that was, you know, talked about was so offensive. The culture that it was made from, the artist, was from this African group that was dealing with the clash of their cultures. They worshipped the spirits of the jungle, and the elephant dung and the dung beetle was a spirit of their religion.
Yeah, I guess that's like gold to them, so maybe it's like an honor.
Well, it was the merging of those two cultures. It was the Mother Mary.
That's interesting. I didn't look into it.
Iconic Mother Mary of the Catholic, you know, Christianized religion was taking over their religion.
So it's like what's holy to us and what's holy to them, and it's just all put together. So
it's a beautiful thing. The really offensive thing, like I said, it was being supported and funded by the, you know, the National Endowment for the Arts, and you know that. I don't think it's all well and good that we have arts and things like that.
Yeah, art's pretty subjective now. Yeah, I tell you
that was getting roundabout to the other thing that you were talking about there a while ago about government being in on everything and trying to manipulate everything. It seems like, and there they are in the art world, you know, supporting that.
Oh, well, sure. Well, yeah, any of the, arts. I mean, you know, any of the arts, entertainment, certainly they've got a hand in, and they're going to pervert it, and there's no aspect of our culture. Well, any way that folks can be reached, whether it's through entertainment or academia, they've got a hand, more than a hand in it, they control it. And so the message is going to be consistent, and it's going to be something that's going to be damaging to us or insulting to us everywhere you look.
Well, the rabbis that support the trashing of Mother Mary as being, you know, and they have rabbinical writings that says that she was raped, it wasn't a virgin birth. And that Jesus was a heretic or whatever, and he's burning in human excrement or something.
Right.
There's actual, Talmudic writings.
Oh yeah, that says all of that. That's what they. Yeah, that's in their.
That's offensive. You know, where's the politically correct crowd that's worried about offending Christians? They're not. You know, we don't want to offend.
That's the first rule. You learn that in day one. You know, that's elementary. You learn that in day one of your of your political and racial awakening. Where
we all need sensitivity training.
It's a sin to offend a so-called minority, even though even that's a misnomer. I mean, Europeans the Caucasians on a global scale are less than 8% of the worldwide population. We are certainly a global minority and a pretty small one at that. But certainly in America at this time, we have a majority that's falling rapidly every day. But nevertheless, we're known as the majority here, and it's okay to offend us every day and every way. But if we do anything that even can be misconstrued as being offensive, we've got to,
watch the movie
acquiesce.
Three Kings, if you've never seen it, people out there. Have you ever seen it?
With Mark Wahlberg?
No, it was with George Clooney. They tried to go after...
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg's in that one. Yeah,
oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's yeah, he's one of the
soldiers.
Guys that goes for the gold.
Yeah.
In that one, the hillbilly hicks driving the dune buggies or whatever, I think they get into this big thing about, there's this whole scene about what is okay to call the people over there, you know. No, you can't call them this, but it's been okay to call them. It's kind of funny that Prince Harry that's having to go through the sensitivity training?
Yeah, Harry's in diversity boot camp tonight.
Well, apparently during Desert Storm, you could call them towelheads. The U.S. military okayed that. It's somewhat depicted in that movie. But you couldn't call them some of the more derogatory stuff, you know.
Well, yeah, he called them a raghead, so that was not...
that's apparently...
That didn't cut the mustard.
By policy, that was okay.
Well, not anymore. I guess the policy has changed, at least.
We can't keep up with it. What's politically correct?
Well, you know, it changes. It changes
it's
every
like
day.
The
I mean, just look at
Newspeak. It's Orwell's Dictionary of Newspeak. You know, well, you got an old edition. They've changed what they used to call the short bus kids. I mean, when I was in school back in the 70s and early
80s. Oh, God. No, you can't even call them handicapped anymore.
They've changed it like four times in the 1990s. It used to be functionally mentally disabled. Well, can't use the word disabled.
Well, yeah, it went from, you know, and God bless any of these people with disabilities you wanted to call them. But, I mean, you know, it's not derogatory to say a person that's, you know, in fact retarded is retarded. Then it was mentally retarded, mentally disabled, handicapped. I don't know what it is. Now, what is it?
It used to be medical terms, you know, like... moron was a medical term. You can't say that now anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of morons in this country. Believe me.
Oh,
yeah, but what do they call now? They're just special. They're special.
Like four times throughout the 1990s that was changed. It used to be, you know.
I'm sick of it.
I can't keep up with it.
Well, you can't. I mean, how could you? You know,
well,
how could
I'm
you?
I'm offended that you're offended, and I have zero tolerance for you. For those with zero tolerance.
I'm offended every day by just about everything and everyone, but nobody, you know, nobody helps
nobody
me out.
To ask you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling in tonight from Kentucky. Let's go to Haley in North Dakota. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. Good evening. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Listening audience. You told the listening audience to call in if you prompt us with a topic that we thought was interesting. And since you were talking about cow dung and homosexualism, then that prompted me to call in and discuss with you some unpublished surveys that I have conducted in the past 4 years concerning homosexualism and their right to choose, and how it's shoved in our faces every day. I conducted a survey with young people 30 years and under and asked them how they felt about homosexualism. And at least 85% of them made the comment that, well, they were really concerned with it. It was a way of life. It was something that was not a choice. I mean, this was shocking to me. And if you studied history and studied the cultures of history, and especially the moral compass of a specific nation, you'll find that as it deteriorates the moral compass, so does the economy of that nation. And I see the same scenario happening here in America. And whenever I asked them this question about homosexualism, I also brought up the topic, and I hope this isn't too sensitive for your listening audience, bestialityism.
Yeah.
And how they felt about that. And they just thought that was just horrible. It was just gross, disgusting. How could anyone think about doing something like that? But if your listening audience will remember or ask their parents, 50 years ago...
I know exactly where you're going with this, and I agree with you. 50 years ago, and I don't mean to cut you off, but...
That's fine.
50 years ago, if you had asked any, you know, sane, normal thinking person what they thought about homosexuality, they would have had just as physically a visceral reaction as the people you're asking now about bestiality. And so they should have. And so yes. Still do people like me and you and people who still have right minds. But yeah, and I tell you what, 50 years from now, if trends don't change, if we keep going down this slippery, quote unquote, progressive slope, things as perverse as bestiality will be accepted.
Well,
and this is the cultural decline that we find ourselves in.
With the internet and access to the internet, I also research the cultures throughout not only our nation but other first world nations, and I see more and more and more sites of news releases of people conducting themselves in this type of perversion. And at 4 years ago, a major university on the East Coast was teaching students how to have safe sex with animals. I am not kidding.
I don't doubt it. I'm not kidding. You laugh to keep from crying, but no, that's where we're going.
Yes. And I'm afraid that we're going to, like you said, keep going down this slippery slope because, like I said, I have researched the moral compasses of other nations throughout history, and it's not until they have reached that level of perversion that the economy will just fades away and they find themselves like in the dark ages again.
Well, Haley, we're about to come to break. I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And, I have no doubt that in the young people that you surveyed, that such a high percentage would say they had no problem with homosexuality. The real question is that true? Are they really that brainwashed to believe that it is just as good or better than heterosexuality? Or are they just saying what they believe is socially acceptable? Either way, it's a bad thing. People need to speak out courageously and boldly for what is right and what is sound. And certainly people like you and me are doing that. But everyone needs to be just as forthright in their beliefs, those that are echoed on this program, as the kids out there that are trying to fit in with what media would have them to believe is the right answer. We have got to go out there and engage ourselves in this culture war that is still raging on, as bleak as it may seem right now. More to come on the Political Cesspool in just a moment. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Let's return to the Political Cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the Political Cesspool guys.
All right, welcome back to the show. We've got a few callers waiting to get on. We're going to get to you at the top of the third hour. Just want to take a moment here and before we wrap up this second hour, in talking about homosexuality, you know, it's really a trivial issue in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it's certainly not as important as correcting our course with regards to issues such as trade and foreign policy and immigration. These social issues are important, but they're not as important as some of these other issues when it comes to our national identity and things like that. But when discussing the train wreck that has become America, there's not really anything more pathetic and more disgusting than the perversities of homosexuality, and then to see that all the homosexuals believe that they deserve equal rights, that there's some sort of civil rights, that they are some sort of a protected minority because they practice sodomy. It's just sick, sick, sick. But there's going to be more of them if they keep going to these mega churches. T.D. Jakes, the famous black mega preacher out of Texas, his son was arrested for exposing himself to an undercover cop. And what's the deal with these famous preachers and sodomy? Of course, T.D. Jakes is the wildly popular black quote-unquote bishop of the 30,000-member Potter's House Church in Dallas, Some in the mainstream media have called him the new Billy Graham. He's about as bad as Billy Graham was. Now, his son has been arrested for what was almost certainly an attempt at soliciting gay sex in a Dallas park. Oh, well, you know, Jakes has made tens of millions of dollars selling his shadow books and movies to black and a few white church women. He'll finally, probably find a way to cash in on this, too. Maybe T.D. and Jermaine Jakes and Ted Haggard can all go on tour together. And speaking of Ted Haggard, we were griping about him a couple of weeks ago on this show. Of course, if you don't know or if you missed or been on another planet lately, Ted Haggard, the disgraced former head of the National Association of Evangelicals, he's a real piece of work. A while back, he claimed that after only 3 weeks of counseling, he had become 100% heterosexual. Now he tells ABC News that he is a, quote, heterosexual with issues, whatever that means. He's been all over television lately, apologizing for his past behavior. But was he apologizing to Christians for claiming to be a minister of the gospel while having drug-fueled sodomy with male prostitutes? No, of course not. He was apologizing on television to homosexuals for making them feel excluded by teaching what the Bible says about homosexuality. He said it was a horrible, hateful thing to do, and that he is ashamed of himself. And it gets worse. He went ahead, you know, one of the kids at his church, one of the males that he sexually abused, he offered him $180,000 and his daughter. The boyfriend would keep quiet. With leaders like these in the so-called Christian movement, we don't need enemies. And I'm a Christian, but this is, this is terrible. And the media portrays these guys to be the leaders of these movements, and they are trash. We're going to go to break. We'll be back.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now, let's return to the political cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, here we are now. We find ourselves in the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast. Thanks again for staying with us, staying up late here on Valentine's Day night, February 14th, 2009. One more quick story on the subject, and then I'm going to move on and take a couple of calls, and we got plenty more to talk about, actually. here in the last hour. As we all know, California is pretty much bankrupt. It's facing a deficit of $42 billion. That's B as in boy. $42 billion is the amount of debt that California is in, but the state somehow managed to find the money to spend on an advertising campaign encouraging homosexuals to adopt children. Because it makes no difference, the ad says, if a kid is raised by a married mom and dad, a man and a woman shacking up, two dads, two moms, etc., etc., etc. So says the doctrines of political correctness. Here's the story out of the Golden State in a controversial move. Local agencies are reaching out to members of the gay community, launching a new campaign to encourage them to adopt children. Keep in mind, the state is funding this, even though they're $42 billion in debt. Proponents of the statewide campaign say there are thousands of kids who need loving homes. Opponents say it's an attack on traditional family values. However, both sides say they are concerned for children. Several agencies launched a campaign called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Family on Tuesday to persuade members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered communities to adopt children. Quote, they provide loving, stable, and permanent homes for kids who need them, said Robin Harrod, Southern California Adoption Agency spokeswoman. And it makes absolutely no difference whether they are gay, straight, single, married, blah, 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 blah. They just need to love kids. America is a very, very, very sick place, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God for the political cesspool. You have got 3 hours a week to cleanse yourself from all this madness with a hard dose of reality and common sense. And don't you believe for a second that that campaign out there in California is anything other than evil, evil, evil. Let's go to Craig in New York. Craig, what do you say about it all?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi. Happy Valentine's Day, James.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, Craig. Good to hear from you again. Thank you.
Good day. Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say it's a great show tonight, but it all ties together in this sense. Your first guest was talking about movies, and I was a film student, and you were just talking about homosexuality, and it really ties all together in this fact that homosexuality really is gaining its popularity from media and the movies and television. And as much as I love columnists like Paul Craig Roberts and Pappy Cannon, they'll never reach out to the masses on the subject of homosexuality in a way that a show like Will and Grace will, promoting sexuality. So the thing I want to say is we need more filmmakers and culture to really affect this culture. We just can't be denouncing the culture. We need to create our own culture of films and books and authors, because that's how people move, especially in my generation. I'm 25. You know, people my age aren't reading the old authors. They're not reading Marx and Lenin and Gramsci and all these other Frankfurt School guys. They're influenced by movies and television. So the way to approach this, we really need to create our own entertainment and movies.
Well, and there's a few people out there doing that. Merlin Miller, I don't know if you've heard of him before, but he's a guy that is doing good work and trying to create some mainstream movies, and has actually had a couple of films receive high critical acclaim. But you're right, and you're right on another point too. You know, I guess if you're talking about movies that really
don't go away.
Well, we got to take a break. Sit tight, Craig. We'll be right back.
Political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch, sing and play.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
If you're enjoying tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to encourage you to visit our website and consider making a donation. We survive off of your listener support, and we've actually had a couple of people donate tonight during the program, and we'd like you to join them by helping us continue to grow and thrive. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. And I tell you, one thing it looks like we're going to have to do more of is talk about movies. It is getting a reaction tonight, and it's always fun for me to talk about. I didn't know it was going to go over so well. A lot of the callers continuing to comment on movies and the role that they play in some small way shaping our culture. But Craig, you were talking a moment ago in saying that we need to, first of all, create an alternative media. Certainly you're right about that. We have a camel's nose in the tin here with this radio program, but we're certainly further along with radio than we are in film. But it can't just be one movie either. I mean, no, you know, no. Every movie you go to has some sort of a harmful or damaging message. So we can't just get one movie. We've got to have studios that crank out these things just as much as the Jewish-controlled studios do. And that being said, you know, back in the 60s, there were better movies. You know, they were more wholesome. A lot of the John Wayne movies had good, wholesome messages. You know,
can
movies
I give you
like
two
Shame.
Examples?
Yeah, good. Sure, go ahead.
I mean, two of my favorite movies from the 60s are from David Lean, Lawrence of Arabia and Dr. Zhivago. The first one, from David Lean, Lawrence of Arabia, it predicted 40 years ago that Iraq would be a failure, because in the movie, an altruistic white Englishman, Lawrence, tries to go over and build democracy amongst the Arabs, and they can't stop fighting amongst themselves. And in the back scenes, the politicians are screwing over the Arabs. They say they're out there to help. So that proved it. And Dr. Zhivago is a great anti-communist film showing how it destroys creativity, the family, faith, and is very tyrannical. And so you're right, we need more movies like those and others, like you're talking about the old John Waynes and John Ford.
Yeah, you know, those days are gone for now, it looks like, but we will hopefully see a renaissance there in American filmmaking. But
well, I hope I can play a role in that someday.
Me too, a cinema student. So, all right, favorite movies. We got a little short segment here. Favorite movies. Give me your top three.
Let's see. My top three would have to be Lawrence of Arabia. That's my number one. Actually, Titanic and Jurassic Park, because I love it so much. That was the movie that made me love movies.
Jurassic Park.
Yours?
Yeah, that was a good one. Me, I always liked Aliens. You know, the for no reason.
Cameron, I own it.
Totally apolitical, but a great James Cameron movie, total guy movie, just a lot. Even though I guess it had a strong feminist character there in Sigourney Weaver, I always, you know, that was my life. You know, I was 6 years old watching movies like Predator and Aliens, but it's a good action movie. You know, it's a good action movie. It was a good one. I gotta think more. I love so many movies. I'll make out a list and we'll do a movie review next week. But thanks for the call, Craig, and you have a great Valentine's Day. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We got another mic here, our third mic of the night, this one coming from Ontario. Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this evening?
As far as favorite movies, Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. I tell you. All right.
Never seen a movie where nobody moves at the end of the movie?
I've never seen that one. I hate to say it. Never seen
what
Apocalypse
What I called about is homosexuals.
Sure.
As a former base construction engineer, I have no issue about homosexuals, but really, I wouldn't want them in my foxhole.
Well, you know, it's not anything that I go around and listen. You know,
Darwin think about this?
I don't know. Maybe we should ask him. We'll have to track him down.
Well, Mr. Darwin is long dead, but
Of course. But
Mr. Darwin would say this is not a right thing.
Not natural.
No.
The species can't evolve if they can't reproduce, can they?
Sir, answer me honestly. Would you want this man in a foxhole beside you?
Who's that? Charles Darwin or a homosexual?
A homosexual.
No, of course not. You know.
Would you want a family man beside you that will cover your rear end?
Yes.
And not look at it?
Yeah, it's common sense, of course.
Well, of course it's common sense. What's the problem here?
Well, there's not a problem, I don't guess.
Don't ask, don't tell, right?
Not between me and you. Yeah, and again, you know, that's why I said all this a moment ago. I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it is a trivial issue. It's a trivial issue in so much as it's not, you know, they've always been around. I guess they'll always be around. I mean, I hate to see them masquerading
Well, they're not exactly a good thing for the species, are they?
What's that?
They're not exactly a good thing for the species.
No, well, they're not a good thing at all. But they're especially, they're becoming more and more dangerous in so much as it's the next step in the logical progression of politically correct subversion. It's they're wanting civil rights. They're claiming to be a minority now, and this, that, and the other. And so that's getting it's getting a little more political and a little more dangerous in terms of that. But
sir, claiming they have rights is like saying I have rights because I have a brain tumor. It's not right. It's not healthy.
Would
you agree?
No, I agree. We're on the same page here. I probably spend too much time talking about it. It's more important, as I said before, to address and correct our course on some of the other more vital and nationalistic issues. But I guess it just accentuates and punctuates the dreariness of where America's heading. I mean, this more than anything else really shows that we are going in the wrong directions and on every front.
I'll tell you something, sir. Yeah. As a Canadian looking from a distance, I am just flabbergasted what's going on there. You guys had the biggest set of, you know what, you took on a superpower as a bunch of peasant farmers. You beat them. Why aren't you doing something now?
Well, you know, people like us and people like you are. The people on the staff of this radio program and of this network are. But unfortunately, as a country and as a race and as a community, I don't have an answer for that. I wish I did. But it begs the question, what happened to the nation that used to produce men like you're talking about? What happened?
Exactly.
What happened to the people that used to produce men like Davy Crockett? and Andrew Jackson.
What happened to these men?
Well, I don't know.
I'm an Irish Canadian. I know what oppression is.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as it is in America, I guess it's a little bit worse in Canada. But I think people
took on the world's biggest superpower as a bunch of peasant farmers, and you beat them. Why can't you stand up now?
Well, you know, again, to answer the question just as I did a moment ago, I mean, I am, you are, a lot of our people are, but as far as it goes, I think the answer is just pretty much the simplest answer is normally the correct one. I think that our people are complacent and content to live within the soft totalitarianism. I think that we have become too comfortable and too soft. And
too much Dancing with the Stars and too much American Idol.
Yeah, well, we got Dancing with the Stars, we got American Idol. As bad as the economy is, and as much as we hate to see a lot of these issues going the way they're going, well, we can at least pay the bills. And, you know, I'm not really going to want to speak out, because if I do, I might lose my job, or I might get demoted, or people might say I'm a racist or a homophobe. So I'm just going to keep quiet, let the government and the secular humanists and the Zionist powers that be run its course. I'm still going to be able to eat. I'm going to live, you know, halfway happy, and then I'll die.
I'll tell you something, though.
And that's where we are.
Even as a Canadian, when I go to the United States on July the 4th and watch it fly by, the hair in the back of my neck stands up.
Yeah.
I'm not even an American, and I feel the pride.
Well, the pride and perhaps the history of what we used to be. Not a lot.
Your history is fantastic, sir.
Well, it is, particularly here in the South. But I mean, now, not a lot to be proud of right now. We can get it back.
Well, apparently not.
You know, we can get it back, but it's gonna unfortunately, it's gonna take a lot more than talk. And unfortunately,
I think every American needs to watch that movie Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Oh, it's a great movie. Absolutely. You know, again,
God make my aim straight and clear.
We're gonna have to have an hour long segment about movies next week. Now that is another great Mel Gibson movie. We were talking about Apocalypto and Passion, The Patriot, and of course Braveheart. Watch those movies, ladies and gentlemen. But no, The Patriot will make the hair on your neck stand up, as will Gods and Generals.
My favorite is still Apocalypse Now.
you're still going with Apocalypse Now, but
you ever seen a movie where nobody gets up at the end?
Yeah.
Anyways, very nice to talk to you, sir.
Hey, great. Thanks for the call. Well, you keep it, you know, hey, keep quiet up there in Canada. We don't want you to go to jail.
Sorry, sir?
I said, be careful what you say on the streets in Canada. We don't want you to go to jail.
That and $1.50 will get me what at Tim Hortons.
You take it easy, my friend.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Well, what's the GOP doing these days? Continuing to reach out and pander to blacks, Hispanics, homosexuals, and abortionists, just as I figured they would. As you know, the Republicans picked a black man, Michael Steele, to head up their party for the next few years. We were really bickering about that a couple of weeks ago. And it's, you know, what's he doing? Well, you guessed it, pandering and trying to reach out to everyone who will never vote for the Republicans while shunning the only people, white people, whoever would consider voting Republicans. He was on Fox News this past week, the new chairman, the new black chairman of the Republican Party was, and he was asked by a commentator. The commentator said, "You're one of the co-founders of something called the Republican Leadership Council, which supports candidates who favor abortion and gay rights. Does the GOP need to do a better job of reaching out to people who hold these views?" And, of course, Michael Steele said yes before laying out the plan on how the GOP would, in fact, reach out to blacks, Hispanics, homosexuals, and pro-abortionists. That's your GOP. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Let's get a little bit more than the law will allow.
Attention.
Asian RBN listeners. The Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. Submarine Service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving essential oils.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the body and environment safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic grade essential oils because they are safe and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
And now let's return to the political cesspool.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. With the waning moments now, I guess waning, you know, considering we're on for so long, 3 hours, when you get down to the last 40 minutes, it seems like the waning minutes of a 3-hour program, but still 40 minutes to go tonight, so still a lot of fun to be had and a lot of information to get out there to you. I saw this. you know, every day when I say that you can't possibly get any more ridiculous, I find something that just blows me away. An MSNBC anchor was forced to apologize for a so-called racial slur. And we've got this on our blog. You got to watch the video to this to believe it. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our official internet headquarters. That's our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And I want you to watch MSNBC anchor Peter Alexander as he apologizes for using the phrase colored people in an interview last week. So he uses the phrase colored people and he apologizes. Well, guess who he was interviewing when he used this awful, horrible phrase? He was interviewing a man by the name of Benjamin Jealous, who just happens to be the president of, get this, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. You really can't make this stuff up. Anchor says colored people. when asking a question of a man who's the president of the NAACP, it's a racial slur. That's political correctness gone a bit too far. Pat Buchanan wrote some time ago one of the best columns ever, and if you're ever having a fundamental conversation with a newbie about racial matters, you need to give them this Pat Buchanan article. It's really one of the best because it's so simple and so easy to understand. It's entitled A Conversation About Race, and we have it posted on our website in light of the inauguration of Barack Obama. Barack Obama said back during his campaign that we need to have a conversation about race in America. Buchanan says that's fair enough, but this time it has to be a two-way conversation. White America needs to be heard from, not just lectured to. This time the silent majority needs to have its convictions, grievances, and demands heard. And among them are these. First, America has been the best country on earth for black folks. It was here that 600,000 black people brought from Africa in slave ships grew into a community of 40 million, were introduced to Christian salvation, and reached the greatest levels of freedom and prosperity blacks have ever known. Reverend Wright ought to go down on his knees and thank God he's an American. Second, no people anywhere has done more to lift up blacks than white Americans. Untold trillions have been spent since the 60s on welfare, food stamps, rent supplements, Section 8 housing, Pell Grants, student loans, legal services, Medicaid, earned income tax credits, and poverty programs designed to bring the African American community into the mainstream. Governments, business, and colleges have engaged in discrimination against white people with affirmative action, contract set-asides, and quotas to advance black applicants over the more qualified white applicants. Churches, foundations, civic groups, schools, and individuals all over America have donated their time and money to support soup kitchens, adult education, daycare, retirement, and nursing homes for blacks. We hear the grievances. Where's the gratitude? Barack Obama talks about the ladders of opportunities for blacks. Let him go to Altoona and Johnstown and ask the white kids in Catholic schools how many were visited lately by Ivy League recruiters handing them out scholarships. Is it white America that's really responsible for the fact that the crime and incarceration rates for blacks are seven times that of white America? Is it really white America's fault that illegitimacy in the African American community has hit 70% and the black dropout rate from high schools in some cities has reached 50%? Is that the fault of white Americans, or first and foremost, is that a failure of the black community itself? Buchanan continues, as for racism, its ugliest manifestation is interracial crime, and especially interracial crimes of violence. Is Barack Obama aware that while white criminals choose black victims in 3% of their crimes, black criminals choose white victims 50% of the time? Is Barack Obama aware that black-on-white rapes are 100 times more common than the reverse? That black-on-white robberies were 139 times as common in the first 3 years of this decade as the reverse? We've all heard ad nauseum about Tawana Brawley and the dupe rape case and the Gina, Louisiana episode, all of which, of course, turned out to be hoaxes. But about the epidemic of black assaults on whites that are real, we hear nothing. Sorry, Obama, some of us have heard it all before, about 40 years and 40 trillion tax dollars ago, one of Pat Buchanan's best columns ever. And you can read it for yourself and send it to your friends by viewing it at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And that's the kind of message we're here to deliver to you. Common sense goes a long way, and we're still speaking it here in the cesspool. We've got to take another break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I was actually a guest on another radio program earlier today out of Florida. And it's always fun for me to be a guest on a different radio program or to give a speech to a group that wants to have me talk before their audience, because I'm always asked questions about the success of this program and some of the great guests we've had the opportunity to interview on this show. And we have had a lot of them. If you check our broadcast archives, that is something that has been so richly rewarding for me as the host of the Political Cesspool, is to just be able to talk with so many different leaders of the movement. When I was doing the radio show this morning, they brought up some of the interviews we've had with Pat Buchanan, and I just read what I believe to be one of his most hard-hitting articles that I've seen in a while in that last segment. And they were asking me about some of the interviews we've had with Pat today, and it kind of got me reflecting. I mean, those were some good interviews. And Pat's, of course, a friend of ours here in the Political Cesspool. I actually got my start working for Buchanan back when he ran for president 8 years ago, 9 years ago now. God, time does fly. But nevertheless, we had a really good interview with Pat, the most recent of which took place back last summer, about 8 months ago, I guess it was, when he had released his new book, entitled Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. And since it is Valentine's Day and a little special occasion, I just thought, since I was reminded of that interview earlier today on that interview out of Florida, and since I just read a column by Buchanan that I would share for you one more time. That interview plucked directly from the Political Cesspool broadcast archive. So I believe our producer and board operator has that ready for us. So if you don't mind, we are going to do a little Valentine's Day special here and go into the Political Cesspool broadcast archives before I come back and wrap the show up live in just a few minutes. So here it is now, ladies and gentlemen, our most recent interview here on the Political Cesspool with Pat Buchanan.
Back to the program, the one and only Pat Buchanan. Pat, we love you, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.
Well, thank you for giving me the time, folks.
Anytime. It's always an honor. And, well, you've done it again, my friend. Another book, another runaway bestseller, but this one is perhaps your most provocative work to date. Tell me, Pat, what compelled you to write Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War?
Well, there were a number of things. One is, it is a phenomenal story. What happened to the Western civilization that ruled the entire world in 1914, and 30 years later, all of Europe was in ashes or aflame, and communists had half of Europe, and all the great Western empires had been destroyed. And so I went back to try to locate the historic blunders that were made, and I think we located eight of them. So it was a great story in the first place. Secondly, it's a cautionary tale for the United States. The arrogance you see, the hubris of these folks, the monarchs and all their retainers, just before World War I, we can see emulated today, copied today, frankly, by some folks in the post-Cold War America. So it was to try to tell a cautionary tale to prevent what happening to us, what happened to Great Britain and the British Empire.
Well, with that being said, that is a perfect segue to my next question. What are the parallels between the United Kingdom of the interwar years, those being the years between World War I and World War II, and the United States of America today?
Well, one of the greatest is the British decisions to alienate old allies like Japan, which had been a loyal ally in World War I. The Brits broke the treaty with them on the demand of the United States for no good reason whatsoever. And Japan was sort of driven into isolation and anger and rage, and eventually turned to her own imperial policy and collided with Great Britain. Italy, even under Mussolini, who loathed Hitler, was driven into Hitler's arms by the British-French decision to sanction Italy over a colonial war in Ethiopia, which was a mistake. They should have focused on Germany. And finally, you get this war guarantee that the British gave to Poland unsolicited, even though Poland had participated in the rape of Czechoslovakia. At least the regime had. And so all of these decisions, you see them replicated in the United States now, handing out war guarantees to the Baltic republics, to Ukraine and Georgia, if McCain is elected. So I just see the same pattern repeating itself again and again. And I do believe the gentleman who said people really do not learn from history was right.
Well, you know, Pat, you've offered so many great books, and I've got all of them. Every time you set to write a book, you can guarantee yourself on one sale, and that's right here in Memphis. But out of all your books, I really appreciated A Republic, Not an Empire as much as any of them. And you addressed this issue in one of the chapters in that book. And in this book, you expound upon that and certainly skewer the myth of Winston Churchill. What are some of the mistakes or myths, if you will, that hold up Churchill as a hero among many Americans, especially the neoconservatives?
Well, there's no question that Winston Churchill was a heroic figure in 1940 when he took over the premiership in Great Britain just as the Germans were breaking through in the Ardennes. He defied Hitler, he defied the Germans, he fought on, he inspired his people, he was the leader during the Battle of Britain, and Americans watched that from across the ocean, and there was an indelible impression that here was the defiant bulldog who represented the British people at their best. That's a true story, that's not just myth. However, there's another Churchill who in 1942, 43, 44 is slipping into Moscow, dividing Europe with Stalin. I mean, groveling to Stalin in a way that would make Neville Chamberlain look like Davy Crockett, writing off the Poles for whom the British had gone to war. And then you go back all the way to 1913 and 1914. He lusted for war far more than the Kaiser, who was trying to avoid war.
That's right.
And these are all myths that we've been raised on as kids. And so this is one reason I wrote the book. At least the new generation coming up that is not sort of, if you will, saturated or marinated in these myths can understand how it was our grandfathers and fathers destroyed Western civilization.
Excellent answer. Very well put. And as with any Buchanan book, this one has received a great deal of fanfare, much critical acclaim, and a few inevitable attacks. What is it, Pat, about World War II that your detractors don't seem to understand?
I think there is an idea, and it's come, frankly, from some, and the book is dedicated to four of my uncles who were greatest generation Americans and fought in Europe. One of whom came back from Anzio with a Silver Star. I think it's the idea that this was a good war. This was a war where good, pure good fought pure evil, which a war that had to be fought and was necessary. And there are no doubts and qualms about it. But that is not true, as I write, and that's why you, in effect, are dispelling some of the great myths by which Americans live. When you say that Winston Churchill blundered, Chamberlain and Churchill blundered serially again and again to bring about a war with Germany. Hitler didn't want war with the West. He didn't want war with Poland. He didn't want a world war. He wasn't even prepared for a world war.
Mm-hmm.
To say that he was a thug and a brutal dictator and a bully and someone who used threats of violence and force as tools of diplomacy is correct. To say that he did horrible things in wartime is correct. But as I say, had there been no war, there would have been no Holocaust. And I'm not sure there would have been a war if the British hadn't issued this insane war guarantee.
Well, you know, history is, Pat, kind of like a Sunday buffet. People seemingly take what they want and leave the rest on the table. And, of course, it's been lost to antiquity, the fact that the vast majority of Americans stood with Charles A. Lindbergh and the America First Committee in opposition to our entry into World War II before the attack, of course, on Pearl Harbor.
Well, good for you. Well, good for you in bringing up Colonel Lindbergh's name, because his reputation has been blackened because of a single speech he gave and a couple of paragraphs in it where he said that, there are three forces that are moving for war, and one of them is, of course, the Roosevelt administration. The other is the British, which was clearly true. They had the man called Intrepid, William Stevenson, trying to find ways to get the Americans into war, putting up propaganda, frankly, blackmailing senators and everything. And then he said the Jewish community is beating the drums for war, but this is going to be a disaster for the Jewish community if we get into war. And, of course, that was verboten to say, but frankly, no one has said what he said was, palpably untrue. And these folks, and before December 7, 1941, the America First Committee offered, they said, look, let's put up a resolution in Congress saying we declare war on Germany and have it voted up or down, but don't sneak us by a back door into war. And because their son, their fathers and uncles had fought and bled and died in World War I, only to make the world safe for democracy, only to see the British Empire annex another million square miles.
And we're certainly following in their footsteps with regards to the collapse of what was truly the greatest nation in the history of civilization, these United States of America. But you mentioned propaganda. Had divine providence seen fit for Pearl Harbor to have never occurred, let's say the United States stays home and Germany proceeds to defeat Stalin, what would America have looked like in 2008, Pat? Would Hitler have come over here, liquidated Christianity, holocausted our people, or would perhaps the world have been a better place had we abstained?
Well, you can't know, by then, when you're talking about 1941, if Hitler did not want war in the West, that's why he didn't demand the return of Alsace-Lorraine from France, where he did want the return of Danzig from Poland or from the League of Nations. And he did not want war with Britain, never did. He wanted to see the British Empire preserved. He was a great admirer of it. He thought Britain was a natural ally of Germany because they had no conflicts. And so I think if the British hadn't given the war guarantee, I don't know that there would even have been a war with Poland, because the German offer was not outrageous for return political control of their city, Danzig, with the Poles having economic control. And I don't know if there would even have been a war with the Soviet Union then, for the reason that Germany would not have had a border with the Soviet Union. They would have had to get permission from Romania or from Poland and from Hungary, even to invade the Soviet Union. So I don't know that it would have been a war. If, however, if the United States, Hitler had not declared war in the United States, I think he would have been stopped in Russia. The Russians had stopped him clearly by 1940, but it might have, the outcome of that war would have been in doubt, because I think it was American Lend-Lease and all the equipment we gave to Stalin which enabled him to really sustain his war effort and mount that enormous offensive the Russians had coming into Europe.
Right.
I do think if you had not gotten into the war by 43, Stalin would probably have been on the Rhine, not just the Elbe.
Well, that's very interesting, and it could have been, but certainly a lot of American blood would have been spared, and I think that's what we all would have wanted.
Right. Well, it was a wonderful thing the America First people did, and I was criticized for it, but in the America First folks kept us out of war until after Hitler made his fatal blunder of invading Russia, which meant that the Russians bore the burden of battle, as they rightly should have, as Stalin's regime certainly should have, because they were partners of Hitler. And Americans, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of American soldiers, lived who would not have lived if we had had to fight Germany from the West and without the Soviet Union in the war.
Well, Pat, you're certainly a student of history. I like to read as much as I can. I certainly wouldn't compare my intellectual prowess to yours, but if we could survive General Sherman, we could have survived Hitler, I think. But let me ask you this. How did you go about researching for this book? This is yet another typically well-researched Pat Buchanan book. Who did you primarily consult with and reference when writing this?
Well, what I did was, after I did A Republic, Not an Empire, I got that good letter from George Kennan, the great geostrategist of the Cold War, who agreed with me on a point I'd been really torn apart for, which was when I said, look, if once after the Battle of Britain, if the Germans couldn't get air superiority over the British Isles, they certainly couldn't get it over the Atlantic, and if they couldn't land in England, they're not going to land in the United States. It's preposterous. There was no threat. And I was attacked for that. And I sort of determined, I said, at some point I'm going to expand on this argument because I think it's true. And so, well, you know, I started reading more and more books, and I was going to write a book on the war guarantee. And then you go back and say, well, how did we get to there? And you keep going back, and I had to sort of cut it off in 1905. But I've got about 120 books, histories, biographies, Churchill. I must quote six of Churchill's books, six of Andrew Roberts' books. He's a friend of mine, a historian in Britain. And you just keep reading them, and what you do is you decide, here's the six key decisions and pivot points that decided the history of the century. One of them, of course, is just before the 6 weeks between Sarajevo, the assassination of the Archduke in World War I. You get Versailles, another. And I decided that the British breaking their treaty with Japan was another, at the Washington Naval Conference. And then I discovered that Mussolini despised Hitler, loathed him, wanted an alliance with the West. So you did the stress affront, then the familiar ones, Rhineland, Anschluss, Munich. But the key one is the war guarantee. And that's the soul of the book. And I would, if people can only read one chapter, read that, because it shows how leaders in panic and haste and folly, who have been knocked on their heels by being humiliated, can make a horrendous decision which costs them everything, for everything, the whole British Empire and the British nation as one of the first ranked of nations. That was put on the line in an insane war guarantee that the British could not honor and did not honor.
And if people want to know more, they're going to have to go out and buy the book, right, Pat?
Yes, sir.
Well,
buy it and take it to the beach on July 4th.
There you go, and buy a couple of copies for your friends. And that book is, of course, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War, How Britain Lost Its Empire and the West Lost the World. It is a runaway bestseller on the charts right now, authored by our good friend Pat Buchanan. Mr. Buchanan, thank you so much for coming back on our program, for fighting for our people. And last question, what can your fans expect to see from Pat Buchanan for the next 20 to 30 years?
Well, I don't know how long we're all going to last, to be very honest, but I hope to write... I've got one book in mind. I'm not sure I'm going to do it. One book in mind, which is, I think that, and it would be not a large book, but it's not Death of the West, but it's sort of the coming world where I think issues of race, and ethnicity and culture, the wars of race, ethnicity, and culture are going to replace the old wars, if you will, of ideology and dynasty and empire. And I see that coming, and it's not a pleasant sight, but it, Pat Moynihan sort of saw it coming, so did Dr. Schlesinger. And I've read a number of columns on this, and you see the divisions in our society increasingly along the lines of race and ethnicity. And I don't think it's a pleasant prospect that our kids and grandkids confront.
And that was our interview with one of our interviews with Pat Buchanan. To hear the rest of it, check it out in our broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Now, let's return to The Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, wrapping things up tonight. Final moments of our Valentine's Day edition of the Political Cesspool radio program. Thanks again for being with us on this very special and romantic night. I hope you've enjoyed the ride. We'll be back with you, of course, next week, same time, same place here in the Political Cesspool, 9 p.m. to midnight. Every Saturday night, right here on AM 1380 WLRN Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and going across the world, as it were, on our affiliate stations here in America, and the marvel of Internet radio, thanks to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Great guest tonight, Andy Nowicki, and I promise you we're going to do some more talking about movies in forthcoming. Got to find a way to infuse movies and politics, because that seemed to be a winning subject tonight here on the program. So we're going to talk more about movies and maybe how they can, I don't know, I'll figure it out before next week. But I know you guys liked hearing about it, because we got a lot of calls about it. And my apologies to those who we didn't get a chance to hear from tonight. As always with this show, we didn't have enough time to get to all the callers, but we do appreciate everyone who listens diligently and tunes in and calls into us. Again, thanks to our guest for the night, Andy Nowicki. And if you enjoyed that interview with Pat Buchanan, don't forget that we have got some great broadcast archives dating back to 2004, all available on demand 24 hours a day and 7 days a week at thepoliticalcesspool.com. God willing, and if Jesus stays is coming, Bill Roland and or Winston Smith will be back with me next week here on the program, and that ought to be fun. I hope they had a good Valentine's Day, because I did, here sitting here in the studio sweating with you. Gonna go home and eat some candy. My wife got me some Symphony bars today at Walgreens, and in an ice car. So I'm going to go eat some chocolate when I get home. And
I got you curtains, too.
And, yes, you got me some curtains, too, for the office. So we're just making all kinds of improvements and advancements at the Edwards household. So, anyway, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Have fun tonight for what's left of it. It's midnight here in Central Time Zone. People on the East Coast are probably already in bed. But for those of you where it's still early enough to enjoy the rest of Valentine's Day out West, be good. And we will see you next week. Remember to live life the way we do, ladies and gentlemen, here in the Political Cesspool. And you know the motto by now: no retreat, no surrender, and no apologies. We've got some great guests coming up for you next week. We're going to see you then. Go to the website, sign up for the email list, and you will know in advance of everyone else who's going to be with us on the live broadcast. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you next time, right here and only here in the Political Cesspool. For the rest of the team, I'm James Edwards. Good night.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to help keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.